In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, May 8th, my 51st birthday, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. As China continues their attempt to stamp out Christianity, officials in the country have been imposing fines and imprisonment on those who participate in Christian activities, reports Christian Headlines. Just last month, a court in Xinjiang sentenced five Protestants who attended a Bible study to prison for up to 5 years. Around Easter, the government disrupted a Christian concert, arresting those present and ordering them not to organize meetings with more than 10 people. Earlier this year, the government arrested and fined over 80 Christians involved in house churches in Xinjiang. King David reminds us, "Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off." Psalm 37, 37-38. Around 1.5 million Christians have fled Iraq since the rise of ISIS, according to an Iraqi member of parliament. Now there are as few as 500,000 Christians left in the country. Please pray for these brothers and sisters in Christ to remain steadfast in their faith. On Saturday, officials from Nigeria, Africa, said 83 more of the remaining 195 Chibok schoolgirls, mostly Christian, have been released from their captivity to the Muslim terrorist group Boko Haram. Despite opposition from President Muhammadu Buhari, the Islamic militants continue to carry out strikes in northern Nigeria, having killed now more than 20,000 people and displaced 2.6 million from their homes. Last month, the Honduran Congress soundly defeated a bill that would have legalized the murder of the unborn in cases of rape, life of the mother, and if the baby is thought to be fatally impaired, reports Life News. Despite strong pressure from the United Nations and abortion activists, the country stood by their 1983 criminal prohibition of abortion. Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez stated, quote, "Only God has the right to take one's life," unquote. Irish police are now investigating actor Stephen Fry over whether he broke the country's blasphemy laws when he called God, quote, "capricious, mean-minded, and stupid," unquote, during a TV interview in 2015, according to Christian Today. Ireland's Defamation Act of 2009 says that someone who publishes or speaks blasphemous material, quote, "shall be guilty of an offense," unquote, with a fine up to 25,000 euros. Exodus 20, verse 7 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Columnist Charles Krauthammer trashed President Donald Trump and congressional Republicans for the short-term budget they managed to pass to avoid a government shutdown on the Fox News show Special Report with Brett Baer.
We always say it, we're always one election from changing things. They control the House, the Senate, and the White House.
Trump got rolled. The Republicans got rolled. They ended up with nothing, really. It's sort of embarrassing. I understand the strategic idea. We're halfway through the year, only a few months left. You save your fire for September when you do next year. That's what they say every time, that they save their fire, and they don't use it the next time. Now, Trump has been wonderful, I think, in sort of throwing out a lot of ideas, starting with the gas tax, but there's no denying the fact that this was not a win. He was not the winner. He said he was a negotiator. This was a total loss.
A recent Pew Research study found young evangelicals are generally moving in a more liberal direction than their parents, particularly on the subject of homosexuality. The survey states, quote, "Evangelical Protestants who are millennials, those born between 1981 and 1996, are considerably more likely than older evangelical Protestants to support homosexual marriage and to say homosexuality should be accepted by society," unquote. However, the study also found these millennials to say that, quote, "abortion should be illegal in most or all cases," unquote, about as much as the older generation. Little Jackson Buell was born with a brain one-fifth the size it should have been. His parents, Brandon and Brittany, were repeatedly advised before birth to murder him in the womb. Praise God they didn't do that. Now Jackson is just over 2 years old, according to Life News. Jackson's mom said, quote, God loves those who bear his image, even the smallest and most helpless among us, and his purposes are often hidden from earthly eyes, unquote. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Monday, May 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this summer, Thursday, August 31st through Sunday, September 3rd, and experience the blessing of 4 days of solid teaching and mountain activities at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges near Winter Park, Colorado. Register at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com.
Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Bill Jack in studio with me from Worldview Academy. And today we're taking a look at the world through a biblical worldview. And it seems like we are so often in our culture the frogs in the slowly boiling water, where the water is slowly approaching 212 degrees Fahrenheit, but everything's going pretty good so far, so good. And that's the reason why we want to bring a biblical view and put it side by side with the craziness of what's going on in our world around us. Now, Bill, you know that the metropolitan public schools are pretty rough. But a lot of people say, hey, the small county schools, the small little bitty towns, schools are great. We got Christian teachers. Everything's good here. Heard that before. Yeah.
And back in the 50s, there was a Blackboard Jungle movie.
Yeah.
Glenn Ford was a new teacher in an inner city school. Sidney Poitier was a student. That's how old this film was. Okay. Yeah. And it was portrayed as, you know, gang infested and no respect and just total, you know, just depravity. And the point was, you know, that's the inner city.
Yeah.
Well, I often get people, parents, who tell me when I speak, well, what you're saying, that does take place in the other schools, but not in my school, yeah, because I live in a small town.
Yeah.
I live in the buckle of the Bible Belt,
yeah,
and my kids' teachers are Christians.
Well, speaking of the Bible Belt, here's a story from the Bible Belt. You want to hear it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Todd Starnes, you know, Fox News. Todd Starnes received an email, he said the other day, from one of our readers in Scotland County, Missouri.
Now, wait. Scotland County, Missouri.
I did a little research on it. Scotland County, Missouri has 4,863 people. I mean, this is like a person every 100 acres.
So this is not just small town, this is small county.
This is Podunk.
Yeah.
This is out in the middle of boonies in the state of Missouri, friends. We're talking the buckle of the Bible Belt out in the middle of nowhere. And apparently, this is what Todd Starnes says, her daughter came home from school with a jaw-dropping assignment full of sexually suggestive language. It was a word problem about a relationship between a man named Larry and a woman named Prudence. Now, it's too explicit for me to read on the air. I read it to you.
Yeah, it's from How to Set a House on Fire, written by Stacy Budsko.
Now, I'm not going to read it on the air because this is just grotesque. It's part of a math lesson describing Prudence and all of her sexual exploits, and then creates a math word problem out of it.
Now, Prudence, do you think that's just
It's extremely sexually suggestive. Wouldn't you say this is some of the most X-rated language you've ever seen?
It is perverse.
Yes.
It is gross.
Yes.
It is not appropriate to be used in any social setting.
It describes her many, many sexual exploits.
Yes.
Is what it does. And we don't want to do that on the air. We wouldn't want to pervert the ears of our listening audience to talk about Prudence in her past sexual exploits. But this is precisely what's happening in this ninth grade classroom.
In fact, the mother said,
she said,
this is something I imagine you'd see on a coffee table in every brothel.
Yeah. She said this would be found on a coffee table in a brothel. But unfortunately, it was a math lesson in a school in Scotland County, Missouri. A population out there, 4,863. The farm county.
It's a farm country.
No, we're not talking everything's small good town. Out there. We're talking in the entire county there's 4,000
Yeah,
people.
Everything's good out there in the small county
yeah.
where they're getting this kind of stuff. The mom reached out to the principal at the high school. She got the runaround. He told me that the teacher was originally a college teacher. He's sometimes in trouble differentiating. Sometimes he has trouble differentiating between what is appropriate for a 15 or 16 year old and a 19 or 20 year old. I'm here to tell you.
It's this not is, appropriate for anybody of any age.
This was not appropriate for Bill Jack.
No.
This was not appropriate for Bill Jack.
I've seen 23 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, my friends, this is the kind of stuff going on in American public education.
And she reached out to the superintendent of schools, and he seemed genuinely concerned about the assignment. He called her back a few hours later. He said, we've taken appropriate action and with the teacher, and he promised this would never happen again, ever. And according to the mom, based on the tone of his voice, I believe him.
Yeah.
Excuse me? What is the appropriate action to take against a teacher who does this in a classroom full of girls who are 15, 16 years old? If a man of that age approached a 15-year-old girl on the public sidewalk in a downtown area and read this problem to her, mamas would call the police and charge him with being a sexual deviant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet you put him in a classroom and give him the title of math teacher, and we are to respect him.
And people think, well, math, you wouldn't expect this kind of, well, worldview orientation in a math class because math is neutral. Well, you'd expect it in literature class. I mean, all these literature classes, even Christian school literature classes, present the sexual exploits of Hemingway and Salinger. So, you know, I mean, you'd expect there to be some sexual deviance.
Do you remember trickle-down economics? Trickle-down economics. Uh-huh. This is trickle-down perversion.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's hatched in the universities, and it's trickling down even into the lowest levels and to the very core of our country, in the heartland of our country. And we need to fire not only the teacher, the superintendent, the principal needs to be gone. The Board of Education needs to take control and clean house and clean out the deplorables. I'm sorry. This is irresponsible. It is irredeemable. This makes me so mad. I want to braid a whip and turn over tables, Kevin.
It's not going to happen, Bill. These are the public schools. And the issue is homogenous. The bottom line, Bill, is that this kind of stuff is going to be in every math class, every literature class, not just in the inner city metro public schools, but it's also going to be in the little cities and counties, little towns, villages across the state of Missouri and everywhere else. This is in the heartland. This is going to be in the farm counties. This is going to be in some of the most conservative states in America. We're seeing it, my friends. It's not just going to be the literature classes. It's the math classes. It's all perverted. And I remember, Bill, taking trips across South Dakota. This would have been some 10, 15 years ago. I'd be surprised. I was going through a little teeny weeny town where there's a 7-Eleven, a gas station, and a tattoo parlor.
Yeah.
You know, all three right there. And I've got to thinking, wow, the very same culture that exists in downtown Denver is making its way into every little tiny burg in town throughout South Dakota and North Dakota. Bottom line, friends, it's the media that makes everything fairly homogenous, where the world is drawn together with the control that Hollywood and Nashville have over the minds and hearts of just about every single person in every single public school and private school. Across America, as long as there is pop culture and peer influence going on anywhere in those youth groups, those Christian schools, or those public schools.
Here's the math problem I grew up with. If car A is traveling at 60 miles an hour and coming straight for him is car B traveling at 40 miles an hour, you know, how long will it take for them to meet in 15 miles? Here's what the problem is.
Bill, that is so 1950.
If car A is traveling at 60 miles an hour and is being approached by car B at traveling at 40 miles an hour, and there are two people in the back seat having sex, that's what you describe.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on in American public schools.
This is absurd.
Yeah. All right, well, the obvious application to all of this has come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. The Bible requires us to give our children an education in the fear of God in every class. And you can bet that hasn't been happening for the last 50 years, ever since the fear of God and praise and worship and prayer in American public schools classrooms has been outlawed by the Supreme Court of the United States. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast.
In a world of transgender bathrooms and Common Core classrooms, American Christians are facing unprecedented attacks on the biblical family. 2,000 years ago, the apostles faced similar hostility to the Christian faith. In Acts 2, Peter called those who had just crucified Jesus a few weeks before to repentance and faith in God's promise of salvation. His closing admonition to these men is just as relevant today as it was then. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. What resulted was the greatest outbreak of the gospel the world had ever seen. Join families from across the country for the 2017 NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio on August 11th and 12th, or in Ocean Shores, Washington on October 20th and 21st. Based on lessons from the life of Noah, the 2017 NOAA Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, Buddy Davis, Emil Zwane, Israel Wayne, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, Cincinnati attendees will receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation just minutes away from the NOAA Conference. Ocean Shores attendees will enjoy a splendid oceanside family getaway on 6 miles of sandy beach on the magnificent Pacific Coast. Go to noaaconference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's noaaconference.org.
And welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack, also from Worldview Academy, in studio with us today as we take a worldview look at what's going on with family, church, and state. We try to address all three aspects of this in any given week. And today we're going to take a look at the state of the church in America. And Bill, this is not good. Okay, this is one of the most painfully embarrassing scenarios I think I've ever witnessed in the history of this radio program.
And you've seen some stuff.
I've seen some stuff.
I've seen some stuff.
This one's painful, Bill.
Okay, how painful?
This one's painful.
I'm sitting down.
I'm going to make it as concise as I possibly can. I'm not reading any articles on this. I'm just going to give it straight and true as best as I can.
Just give me the skinny.
This is the way it played out. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
A professor at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, he did a rap as part of a sermon. Apparently, he has something of a gift of rap, and so he included it as part of his sermon. Then, step two.
Trying to be relevant.
I guess so. And then step two, the other preaching professors, I guess in the homiletics division of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, thought it'd be a good idea to dress up like rappers to support him and post a joke photo on the internet as a goodbye gesture to the rapping preacher who was leaving to take a church somewhere.
This isn't going to end
no,
well.
No, it doesn't end well at all.
Oh.
Then the pastor, or the president of the Reformed African American Network, got all upset and wrote an article in the Washington Post calling these guys racist or racially insensitive for posting the photo because the photo had a few stereotypical elements and accessories used by rappers.
Okay,
it gets worse, Bill.
It can't get worse.
No, it gets worse.
No. Then,
after all of that, the president of Southwestern Baptist Seminary issued a long apology to the whole world.
To the whole world.
For everything they did, yeah. And then, to make things even worse, the seminary asked Lecrae to lead a dialogue to kind of work it all out. He declined.
Kevin.
It's just painful.
It just hurts.
It's just painful. Yeah, there's something very wrong with every step of the way.
Everything
went wrong.
You either laugh or you cry.
No, it's just embarrassing. The whole thing's chaotic.
It's, oh.
Oh, I can't. Hey, maybe there's a solution here.
Okay. How in the world can we work this out?
Let's go back to media, Hollywood and Nashville. Okay.
All right.
Because the first talkie, was it not the jazz singer with Al Jolson?
You think Al Jolson could work this out?
He appeared in blackface.
No, Bill. That would be step six. That would only make it even worse,
maybe
Bill.
Sensitivity training. We'll show everybody at Southwestern Seminary, all the student body, the jazz singer with Al Jolson, and that'll fix the problem.
No, Bill.
No. You don't think I'm relevant enough?
What we have here, Bill, is multiple breaking points.
Oh, my word.
What we're finding here is that the systems is breaking down. We have systemic failure going on in the church in America. There are a couple of things. There's unbelievable fragility just about everywhere. You know the snowflake thing?
Yes.
Have you heard of the snowflake thing in the universities where just a tiny little jolt to the snowflakes and what happens to them?
They melt.
They melt, Bill. They melt.
They're so fragile.
The fragility, the incredible fragility, everywhere. And a lack of sobriety and maturity amongst the leading pastors of the day, I guess I'd throw that in.
A lack of sound judgment.
Yeah.
Okay, what if this gets out?
Now,
you and I
Isn't anybody thinking?
We both pulled, pranks on people, and I'm sure that, there are times we go,
These are the leading homiletic professors in America, Bill.
Somebody thought this is a good idea. Somebody should have just stepped up and said, take a deep breath, guys.
It appears also that incipient racism, or at least a sensitivity to skin color, is stronger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
You get that sense?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's due to President Obama's tenure that he made it the issue. Mm-hmm. When it was not being the issue at the time.
Yeah. Well, and it's rappers that have to salvage the whole thing. that's the icing on the cake.
I love the part of Lecrae being invited and he declined.
Yeah.
He declined,
yeah.
Probably the wisest person in the room on this whole thing.
Probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why would you even that hurts.
When pop culture has to salvage a dying civilization, we know we're in trouble.
I still think we should show the first all talking film, Al Jolson's The Jazz Singer. I think that would solve everything because Hollywood can solve everything and fix everything.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, to salvage culture, I think requires requires healthy family life, children honoring their parents and grandparents, and this honor has been disappearing. Healthy cultural forms must develop out of a culture of intact family where the fifth commandment is honored. And the new revolutionary cultural forms developed out of dysfunctional life in the inner city in Philadelphia, Detroit, New York. I've done extensive research on the philosophy around hip-hop. And it formed around the inner city. Eminem's probably an excellent example of that. Now, he's a white guy. So, again, it's not a racial thing.
Right.
This is not a racial thing.
It's a cultural issue.
Eminem is an excellent example. Abandoned by his father. You know, he wrote letters to his father as a little boy, and they'd come back with that stamp, returned to sender. The envelope.
Now that hurts.
It sure did.
That strikes deeply. That cuts deep.
Yeah. And then his mentor, he had a mentor, committed suicide when the kid was 19 years of age. So see, that's the roots. That's how the culture forms. The cultural form develops around that. The father of hip hop, Harry Allen, calls hip hop destabilized and scattering into entropy right now. The art form itself was revolutionary as the art of revolution, and it slowly is dissipating. So the sad fact is that we don't have strong cultural forms, and that's the point I want to make, is that our cultural forms are so fragile. The cultural forms themselves are fragile. And the idea that somehow this cultural form is going to salvage civilization is a joke. But on top of that, there's also this fragility, and I want to talk about that as well. Why the fragility?
Bill, Kevin, why
the snowflake?
I just had a thought, because I mentioned jokingly the minstrel show.
Yeah.
But that was the wrong cultural form as well, because we were relegating certain people groups to being subhuman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that could not be sustained. That did not sustain culture. It was wrong. It was biblically wrong, mm-hmm. just as this hip-hop culture mm-hmm. is biblically wrong in the sense that it springs from a wrong worldview.
Well, and at the bottom of all of this, I don't like to say that cultural forms are right and wrong as much as they just don't have the strength.
They reflect a worldview.
They do, and they don't have the strength to survive.
And I'm not saying that you can't do hip hop or rap, and not if you're a Christian, you can't do that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you look at the basis for it, the foundation for it, and out of the foundation flows the art, and art leads the culture. If you want to know where the culture is headed, look at the art that's being produced.
Well, I think the art itself is fragile, and that's my point, that there's a fragility today. You're not passing down folk art from grandparents to parents down to children, to grandchildren, to great-grandchildren. That's not happening as it did in all of these cultures, even non-Christian cultures like Japan or Korea or China or elsewhere around the globe. There were cultural forms that were passed down from generation onto generation. And what we have today, I think, are fragile forms in that our civilization itself is so unstable, it just simply cannot survive. And that may be something, some explanation for the fragility of our society today. The most tolerant society seems to have become the most intolerant. There seems to be a fear of one another versus a fear of God. And when you've got a fear of one another, there seems to be a lack of stability to relationships and to community, even within our colleges. I can't imagine our colleges are going to survive, Bill, under this level of scrutiny and this level of mistrust. There's so much fear of each other that, and so much of a lack of the fear of God that it forms a situation in which society just can't continue like this for very long.
You know, I'm reminded also of a book was written many years ago by a Rookmacher called Modern Art and the Death of a Culture.
Mm-hmm.
And how, again, art leads the culture, reflects what's happening, what the worldview is underneath. Most people don't think in terms of worldview, but they consume art. And whether it's the minstrel show or the hip-hop, they've got to realize that it flows out of a worldview.
And then the racism issue, as Christians, Bill, as Christians, it seems to me that if Jesus came to make peace and peace between the middle wall that separated Jew and Gentile, do you think the same Christ that is capable of reconciling us to God and to reconcile Jew and Gentile together would be able to reconcile black and white in the United States of America?
If we had
the same Christ, the same gospel, the same reconciliation that is shared with us in Ephesians chapter 2, don't you think that we would be able to take down the middle walls of partition and our relationship with our fellow man would come to play? If our relationship with God is restored in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it seems to me the reconciliation with our fellow man should be child's play.
It should be.
So why isn't it? What's missing here?
This cuts both ways. I mean,
yeah, what's missing here?
Red and yellow, black and white.
Sure.
We tend to segregate ourselves.
Right. Uh-huh.
And part of that is just, we like to be around people who are like us. But part of it is that there is this underlying current of I'm better because I'm different.
Yeah.
And that is man's pride.
That's man's pride.
And mm-hmm. what we need to do is realize that's the chief sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stand in humility before a gracious God who, yes, red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in his sight, but we're all gross sinners in need of a Savior.
Well, as we wrap up this edition of the program, friends, take a look at your worldview and ask yourself, am I standing on a worldview that is based in the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge and wisdom? And because we have so lacked humility and the fear of God in the way that we have taught the liberal arts, literature, etc., because we have not integrated the fear of God into the way that we have educated in the K-12 years, it seems to me the same thing is seeping into the university classrooms as well. Our foundations are cracked, and therefore the building is jacked, as we like to say on the program. The church is attempting to be relevant to the self-destructive cultural forms of the day, following a dying culture. instead of leading the culture by teaching and discipling in a biblical worldview. And part of this is that the adults are increasingly looking to the youth to lead the culture. In other words, the youth establish the cultural standards today. It's not as if the adults, the grandparents and the parents, are handing down their cultural forms to each additional generation. No, no, no. We're in the middle of massive cultural and social revolution. Therefore, the adults are always looking to the youth to lead the culture. It's all upside down. This is how a civilization self-destructs. But if we bring back the fifth commandment, and that is that the youth will honor their father and mother, that it may be well with them in the land, that their culture might go well in the land that God has given to them, that they might be able to sustain something of a civilization. If they would honor their mothers and fathers, if they would honor their mothers and fathers' culture, then we might have something that would sustain in the next generation. The church is attempting to be relevant to the self-destructive cultural forms of the day. And if a youth leader steps out in front of the youth group and it finds that they all have bones in their noses, then what does the youth leader do but go find a bone and shove it through his nose? The reason, of course, is that it's the youth that lead the culture. It's the younger ones. It's the ones that lack most wisdom that lead the culture. And it's always the leaders that will follow the culture itself. The youth leader wants to be relevant, and therefore he puts a bone in his nose so he may be relevant. Now, the next question is, what does he do? Now, the first thing he does is not to address the cultural forms. It's not to address the bone in the nose. It's not to address the musical forms. What does the youth leader do when he steps out in front of a cannibalistic youth culture and finds they all have bones in their nose? He doesn't address the bones. He addresses the worldview. Absolutely. Disciple them in the worldview. Teach them to obey whatsoever Jesus has commanded, and begin with the fifth commandment. If you begin by teaching them to obey the laws of God, of course, you must bring the gospel in first, that they might understand that Jesus died on the cross for their sins because they have sinned against God and broken his commandments. And then, once they realize they're forgiven by the blood of Jesus, now you teach them to obey the fifth commandment. And as you do this over a period of 15 to 20 years, Bill, you're going to find that their cultural forms will change. And that, my friends, is why it is so crucial that you teach them a biblical worldview.
Worldviews affect everything.
Absolutely. Don't go after the culture first and foremost. Go after the worldview first. Teach them a biblical worldview. Teach them to observe the commandments of God first. And then you'll find the cultural forms will change.
Don't try to put the roof on the house if the foundation is cracked.
Exactly.
Fix the cracked foundation first.
Go find some concrete, and the concrete is the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Friends, I encourage you to our book, The Tattoo Jesus, what the real Jesus would say about pop culture. Would the real Jesus tattoo himself, and would he encourage all of his children to tattoo themselves? What's the right worldview? That's the first question. You need to get a copy of our book, The Tattooed Jesus, what the real Jesus would say about pop culture, to better understand how worldviews affect culture and music forms, as well as hip hop and rap. That book, The Tattooed Jesus, is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of it for your kids, for your grandkids, if they're dealing with any kind of a pop cultural issue, whether it's music, movies, tattoos, or anything else. It's The Tattoo Jesus, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.